I apologize for being late. My watch only says 9:30, so I don't know. It just seems kind of funny. I'm glad that you made it here. I'm glad that that you set your sprung forward, and you are most welcome in this place. I want to introduce to you Michael, who is a friend of Stephen's, right? And he's here. Nathan is out of town, and so we are blessed with him. When you hear him play, you will know we are blessed with him. He anointed our first worship of God in beautiful ways. And so will you welcome him? Even in our moments of faithlessness, God loves us still and waits in mercy to forgive. Let us settle our minds, focus our souls upon Jesus, and pray, listen, and hope to experience Jesus among us right here, right now, today, so that we may worship in prayer and song and word, cup and bread, our most precious Lord. Rest here in the arms of God. Be blessed with renewed and restored life. Jesus says, all of you are welcome into my sanctuary. Now, if you will turn in the back of your bulletins, we will share our fellowship, worship, and mission activities. All are welcome to participate in that. You don't have to be a part of a club. You don't have to sign up for anything. You just come, and you will be welcomed. This is the fifth Sunday of Lent. I just want you to know that it's this upcoming week, not this week, but the beginning with Palm Sunday. We begin a time of solemn worship of Jesus, but we are a resurrection people, so it's kind of hard to tamp us down sometimes, but it slows us down so that we can go inside ourselves and look at what is broken and give thanks to Jesus Christ to heal that brokenness. And then we will have many worship services and ways in which to worship and devote ourselves to Jesus that week. We will have Palm Sunday when our beautiful young people will come forward and be baptized. And there are six. We go today, our last time together, which makes me very, very sad. And we're going to go to a sheep farm. And we will study a little bit before we go, John 10 and the 23rd Psalm, and talking about Jesus as Good Shepherd and about us as sheep. And they have new lambs, about a day and a half old. So, and we'll be in the muck and mire. They have to wear clothes that aren't so nice to get to these beloved animals. One is in the house. We may get to go in and see her. She's not very well. She's a little tiny. But I want to thank parents and grandparents and any of you that made it possible, mentors that made it possible for this time with our young people that are going to give their confession of faith and then be baptized into Christ's body. And so thank you, and know that you all have blessed us very, very much. So next Sunday is Palm Sunday, and we will celebrate. We're going to have a demonstration of Palm Sunday because there won't be enough room. We will have palms and all that next Sunday, but they're going to do a skit for us, the children, and we are thankful for that. Maundy Thursday, Good Friday, and Sunrise Easter worship, and 10:30 Easter worship. So may you participate. We will have a fellowship celebration after Palm Sunday 10:30 service because we want to celebrate these children and all that they, the work they've done, and their baptism. Last Sunday for Easter lilies, ordering of Easter lilies. Thank you all for the wonderful worship last week. I'm honored, I am blessed, and I'm still walking on clouds, and I thank you for that. And so it was very much appreciated. Dana, do you have anything? Where's Dana? Easter. Candy. Whoa.
Easter egg hunt next Sunday, 9:30. We'll have candy. Be there.
Be there. Be square. Be there. Be square. Anyone else? Allie? Nothing? Okay. Raphael, you want to say a word about the dance-a-thon?
The dance marathon last night, I know that Drew Ladd was there, and Addie Mudd was there, and Antonio was there, and they raised over $29,000. That was not only the high school, but the elementary schools, as well as the intermediate schools. I'd also like to add that your video audio team has been toying with a Facebook page. And we hope that you will join us. We've not really mentioned it a great deal because we wanted to play around with it for a little bit. But we do record portions of the of our services. We also do some other fun stuff. So we hope that you join in the conversation and engage us. We'll be taking videos and pictures throughout the year so we can record the great things that happen in our church. So I hope that you will. We actually have an official Tabernacle Facebook page. If you have a problem getting to it, I'm going to ask the tech team, and maybe next week or over the next couple of weeks, if you don't know how to get to that page, we'll have some of the young kids get you there. But we hope that you'll enjoy it, because really a lot of the things, if you go on vacation, for example, we can upload this half of the sermon, the music, within minutes. So if you're in Florida or Hawaii or Colorado and you miss services while you're traveling, if you're with us, you'll see that we can post that immediately. So I know that some of the folks that have been out sick, I can tell when they're watching, which is kind of neat and kind of creepy too, but that's okay. But it's good for us to know that when you're away, if you're sick or you're homebound, that you can be connected. So if you're having a problem getting to our Facebook page, we'll help you over the next couple of weeks. But I think we've worked out all the kinks, and we look forward to communicating with you on social media. So thank you.
Thank you very much. Is there anyone else? Any other announcements? Yes, Janie. Okay. There are some blanks, but not very many blanks. And so if you will come after and sign up, that would be great. And we will fill them. We want 24 hours to be filled. So please do that.
Thank you.
Oh, sorry. I'm so sorry, Janie. I just sort of started off, didn't I? Oh, I'm telling you, this time change is not going to be pretty. For me, for you, for me. Okay. Anything else? Gracious. Yes. Catherine Jones, looking very well. We'll say something then in prayer. Right now, we lift her up in prayer, and let's pray a praise. Lord, hear our praise. Thank you so much. Yeah, yeah. Anything else? All right. Let's bow our hearts. Call to worship. See, I told you. I am so sorry. I don't know what that's about. Thank you, Libby. Would you stand, please?
Good morning.
Good morning.
If I would ask everybody if they would sign the attendance booklets and pass them down the pew. And we will begin call to worship. In times of security and times of uncertainty,
Lord, hear our praise.
Confident in our faithfulness,
we will ever praise your name.
Through the abundance of your steadfast love, you have gathered us into your house.
In the holiness of your presence, we bow down to worship.
If you'll open your hymns to number 272, we're going to do verse 1, 4, and 5.
Let us greet one another as brothers and sisters in Christ.
Scripture reading this morning, I'm going to be reading from John 12, verses 1 through 8. 6 days before Passover, Jesus entered Bethany, where Lazarus, so recently raised from the dead, was living. Lazarus and his sisters invited Jesus to dinner at their home. Martha served. Lazarus was one of those sitting at the table with them. Mary came in with a jar of very expensive aromatic oils, anointed and massaged Jesus' feet, and then wiped them with her hair. The fragrance of the oils filled the house. Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, even then getting ready to betray him, said, "Why wasn't this oil sold and the money given to the poor? It would have easily brought 300 silver pieces." He said this not because he cared 2 cents about the poor, because he was a thief. He was in charge of their common funds, but also embezzled them. Jesus said, "Let her alone. She's anticipating and honoring the day of my burial. You always have the poor with you. You don't always have me."
And as we prepare for Palm Sunday next week, we hope you enjoy this little skit the children have practiced to demonstrate Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem. While traveling to Jerusalem to attend the Passover festival, Jesus sent 2 disciples saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me." This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Zechariah, who said, "Say to the daughter of Zion, see your king comes to you gentle and riding on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt, placed their cloaks on them, and Jesus sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road. while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." But some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." But Jesus replied, "I tell you the truth, if they keep quiet, the very stones themselves will cry out." A little while later, Jesus spoke to the followers. "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. I tell you the truth, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. The man who loves his life will lose it, while the man who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant will be also, and my Father will honor those who serve me." When he had finished speaking, Jesus left and hid himself from them. Now, can we all please bow our heads and pray? Father, thank you for anointing us with your Spirit and love. As we celebrate this holy season, may we reflect on all the wonderful gifts of Lent, the living water, the ashes, the oils and sweet smells of perfume and flowers, and the palm branches. Help us to remember that Jesus is our wonderful King and that we can praise him every day. Amen.
I feel like a proud mother, don't you? A proud father, proud mother, grandparents. Let us lift up to the Lord and to be heard among us our joys so that they might be multiplied. Let us share our worries and concerns and sorrow among our brothers and sisters in Christ so that they might be divided and our burden be lightened. I'm going to call up first into this time of prayer Jim Allen, who will speak to us about Count Your Blessings, for there have been many. And I just ask that we know that this is a sacred thing that he speaks of.
Thank you, Evie.
You're welcome.
I find it once again necessary to come and talk to you about money, something we don't like to hear about in church. We've had a campaign for 2 weeks, and we were in great hopes it would be over. But we're a long ways from where we need to be. We sent out 131 letters of request with this yellow card for you to fill out as an estimate of your giving. It's not a pledge. It's just something to give us some kind of idea of what kind of money we'll have coming in to operate the church and to do God's work. We reduced the budget 21% in the coming year. At least that's our proposed draft right now. That's a pretty sizable cut. We also cut salaries by $12,200. The departments have cut their budgets down to the bare operating minimum. Some of you have no idea the cost of operating the church. For instance, the utility bills in this church will run about $16,500 for the coming year. The cost of insurance, another $16,000. So far, we've had 41 people respond out of 131. That response has been $113,000. Salaries alone to operate for the coming year, if we can keep it like we have proposed, is $149,000. So we don't even have enough right now pledged or estimated in giving to pay the salaries for the coming year, let alone the operating cost. So I would urge you to give it great thought if you haven't turned in your card. And I sincerely want to thank those that have, because in the beginning we asked you to increase your giving by at least a minimum of 4%. Those that have responded so far have averaged an increase of 8%. So please give it prayerful thought. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Jim. And we lift our budget and our ability to do what we do up to the Lord, and we pray, oh Lord, hear our prayers. Lois is not here, but Parrish is doing much, much better now. He's still in intensive care, but I went to see him earlier in the week, this last week, and then went at the end of the week, and it was miraculous to see the change. He was more alert. He was more, he could answer questions, not verbally, but he could nod his head and blink his eyes. And so that's just tremendous. And his body is better. And so I just ask that we continue to pray. Prayers are being blessed and heard and responded to. And we just ask continued prayer for Parrish and for Lois and Lori and Peyton and Jim, his brother-in-law, who all are very good at being at the bedside and supporting one another. But they need stamina, they need courage, and they need continued hope. And so we lift them up to the Lord. And let's say a praise first. Lord, hear our praise. And then a prayer of concern, which is, Lord, hear our prayer. Okay. Cindy Fee asked prayers for her uncle Bill McCrary's family. He went home to God this last Wednesday. And she especially asked prayers for Nanette Morrison, a granddaughter, who has helped with his care and will continue to help settle his estate. And so she has been at his side and helping him. And so we lift that entire family in our prayers, and we pray, oh Lord, hear our prayers. Let's lift up Bob Fair and Richard and Jack and their spouses for continued healing. And we pray, oh Lord, hear our prayers. Phil Smith is here. I was going to lift him up. We thank God that you are here and well enough to be here. And we were going to pray for Jeannie, who's been a helper and a sidekick. And so we just give our praise and we pray, oh Lord, hear our praise. Let us continue to pray for Fred and Sarah Dyward, although Ed told us in first service his dad is much better, and so that's a praise too. And we pray, oh Lord, hear our praise. Naomi Dillard is in our prayers for an accurate diagnosis and healing, and we lift her up to the Lord, and we pray, oh Lord, hear our prayers. Shirley and Ray Scott, I had never met them. They were longtime members here, and she fell and broke her hip and now is at Homeview. So I went to visit with them this last week, and both just delightful. And he's just devoted to her, and they're very, very sweet. She asked about the young boy preacher, and who she meant was Bill. So I said, I must be 16. No, I'm just kidding. But she was very sweet, and they loved him very much. And so we lift them up in our prayers, and we pray, oh Lord, hear our prayers. For those who hold in private, in the private part of their hearts, anything that is causing them discomfort or pain or worry, grieving, sorrow, or concern, may they never feel alone in despair. May they know we are praying and hoping for them, and we lift them up to the Lord, and we pray, oh Lord, hear our prayers. For all who take care of loved ones and are weary, give them strength. courage and stamina, and please, joy, joy each day, even in their hard work. And so we pray, O Lord, hear our prayers. Are there any others that you would like to lift up? Okay, let's bow our hearts before our Lord. Jesus, who is among us now, we pray praise and glory of you in all things. We pray to know your Spirit poured upon us now and to know your felt and known presence deep in our souls. Holy God, you promise us a life full of blessing, but we do not always believe. You walk us to hope, but we fall behind and we fall back into fear. You urge us to give freely, but we cling to what we have. You call us to watch at all times for you, precious Holy God, but we grow tired and focus on ourselves or the world in which we live. Forgive us, we pray. Increase our hope, enlarge the hearts of our souls, and keep us alert to the wonders you work in the world every day. For Jesus' sake, we pray. We cry to you for help, O Lord, for you alone have the power to restore our lives. Give bread to those who are hungry and drink to those who thirst. Precious Lord, give life to those who are dying and grace to those who have a sin-sick soul. Holy Father, give justice to the oppressed and peace to those who live in fear. Give comfort to those who mourn and hope to those who despair. As you breathe life into dust and make dry bones dance with joy, give new life to this weary world. Speak to us, O Lord, your saving word. Fill us with your Holy Spirit and feed us with the bread of life, our Jesus Christ, our Savior. We continue to pray in reverence and sacred devotion the prayer that Jesus taught. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. God calls us to share what we have. A little bread, a little water, a little time, a little attention, and a little of our financial resources. God uses those simple gifts to bring abundant blessing to the world. So we will, in tithe and offering, use the God-given blessings that he has gifted to us and use them to live out his will and glory and purpose for the missions and ministry of this church.
help of the helpless, we turn to you this morning and give you praise for the way you have provided for us, for the air we breathe, the food we eat, the talents and skills you gave us to develop that enable us to help provide for ourselves and others. We give back to you now the offerings we have been able to earn, that they may provide sustenance and growth for our church, the Church Universal, and those in need. Amen.
Thank you for the blessing of your God gift. We appreciate that. I named this sermon Anointed because whenever I read scripture, whenever I am in your presence, whenever I hear music like that, I feel anointed by God. And so we pray and hope that each time we gather together, we feel anointed by God. And so I ask that we settle ourselves, take a big, deep breath of God in, and just get rid of all that distracts us and settle in and steal away to Jesus. Six days before the Passover feast, Jesus went to Bethany. Now we know that's where Lazarus lived. Lazarus is the man, his dear friend, whom Jesus raised from the dead. Jesus is always on time, even though the sisters thought that he was too late to save Lazarus. but that's another story. He was 4 days too late. Lazarus stunk pretty bad at that point, but Jesus raised him to new life, and he lived again. Now, Mary brought 16 ounces of very expensive perfume, a year's wages expensive, made from pure nard. She poured the perfume on Jesus' feet and then wiped his feet with her hair. Can you see that? Can you smell that nard, that frankincense and myrrh? As she kneels down before him, some might divert their eyes thinking, this is a private moment, so sacred we can't even look upon it. But there they were. Judas was furious. Others took that sweet smell of perfume that filled that whole house, and they felt anointed themselves. But Judas was furious with this woman who knelt at the feet of Jesus. Why wasn't that perfume sold and the money given to the poor, he scolds. Jesus closes his eyes, savoring the fragrant aroma that filled the room. Somehow it reminded him of another time, another place. I have read many times how smell can recall things of the past. But for Jesus, it was a scent reminiscent of life and death. Coming back to the present, though, Jesus said, "Leave her alone," almost as if it was embraced by a sigh. Then he proclaimed a little louder, "She is preparing me for burial." How had she known? Why had she done that? Anointing one's guest was common. It was considered proper etiquette. But you anointed the head, not the feet. It was a grimy, distasteful job to wash the feet of guests who had walked through the muck and dirt of the open road, and especially the slop and waste and garbage of the city streets. Not even all servants could be required to do that job. Yet, this woman not only washed his feet, she anointed them as one who would not walk again, using pure and costly nard to do so. The fragrance must have saturated the nostrils of those that were in that room. How did she know? How could she have known he was about to die? Surely she was aware that anointing the body of one who died was a symbol of love for that person, a way one demonstrated tenderly that they were placing a person in the hands of God. Did she even know that that was what she was doing? She looked up into his eyes. What was he thinking? She could never tell. Did he know that this was the only way that she could express her feelings, her adoration of him? Gently, lovingly, she wiped the oil away from his feet with her very own hair. She knew the fragrance, the scent of her gift, would stay with him for days. The next day, when all of Jerusalem was at his feet, as he entered the city in a triumphal parade of palms, the fragrance indeed surrounded him, reminding him of why he had come and where this road would lead him. But back to the beginning of this story that opens in an idyllic way. Lazarus and his sisters, Mary and Martha, host an intimate dinner party among friends. Jesus is an honored guest, and the event promises to be full of joy. The gospel writer does not say explicitly why this is no ordinary dinner party, although we might look that Lazarus has been raised from the dead after 4 days of being in the tomb, but that wasn't it. This is somehow special, though, and different. It's not different because of the time of the year, just right before Passover, or because Jesus is present, although this was always a reason to celebrate. Lazarus becomes host. He was once dead and now joyfully among them. He's healthy and alive, and he hosts and honors the miracle worker, Jesus, and to give thanks to him for the gift of new life. What a beautiful scene. Mary and Martha and Lazarus have given a banquet in Jesus' honor. Lazarus dines with him. Martha serves him, and Mary anoints him. Fellowship, good food, time to linger at the table, and a chance to express deep gratitude with words and with actions. Here we see a peaceful picture of church fellowship, one we yearn for in the church always, an atmosphere that is both inviting and warm. All seek for a church where we gather around the table to be fed, but not only by bread and cup, but by the presence of family, friends, and most of all, the presence of Jesus. Here at Tabernacle Christian Church, we have such a place where we honor Jesus and those who gather here. And we are filled with such gratitude and love for the gift of new life in him that the experience is maybe a little bit of heaven right here on earth. There's just one problem in this idyllic story. The gospel writer continues the story in a way that disrupts this happy scene. Conflict arises in the midst of beauty and peace. Offering the very best that she has, Mary anoints Jesus' feet with costly perfume. The perfume and her devotion captivate everyone in the room. Judas Iscariot takes offense at this. Not because a woman is touching a man in public, although that would have been a good reason to be offended in their culture, but because he thinks this is a tremendous waste of money. In his outward public view, Judas proclaims that Mary should have taken that money for something more important, for providing care for the poor. It is as if the gospel writer then, John, takes us to the side and whispers to all of us what we cannot be sure that the dinner guests present know or knew, that Judas is actually more interested in dipping his hand in the treasury for his own purposes than in caring for the poor. Judas kept the common purse and had stolen from it. The comment then gives a certain slant to Jesus' reply. Since Judas' concern for the poor was not genuine, Jesus' response is not a rejection of giving to the poor, but rather a rejection of Judas's embezzling of community funds. But also, Jesus is not opposing care of the poor, but it is being overridden by the profound nature of Jesus' impending death. His death will do more for the poor of spirit, the poor of body, the poor in basic needs. His death will do more for the poor than any single act of benevolence. And then there we have it. Trouble in paradise. Both Mary and Judas are followers of Jesus. Among Jesus' chosen are people like Simon the Zealot, a fanatic, and Matthew, a tax collector. These two men represent groups that fought bitterly. The first community of believers did not always live in harmony, and we know that Christians today do not always live in peace. Now I'm going to say something that will shock you. The conflicts exist in every congregation. I know you find that difficult to believe. And I tell you now why. It's scriptural. Jesus Christ calls diverse people into the church. With diversity comes differences of opinions, split votes, competing priorities, and different ways of expressing devotion to Jesus. Sometimes the devotion is going out among the poor, but sometimes the devotion is kneeling after you've bought expensive perfume and washing the feet of Christ. There was a man that was here last week among those that came to celebrate with me and Steve and all of you. He was very, very poor when he was young. And he's very, very poor now because he gives it all away. But when he was young, he was one of 11 children. And one of 11 children means, and he was one of the youngest ones, meant that he never got a clean pillow. Many of them did not have pillowcases, and so pillows would be stained and all sorts of things. So pillows meant something to him. Well, it came along a time that we were getting ready to do a Christmas party for the youth next door at the youth center from the church. And we were trying to talk about what to buy. And he said, pillows and blankets. I thought, pillows and blankets, I want to buy them something fun. You know, will they even like that? I mean, will they? Well, we bought them and we wrapped them up. And there were about 45 youth between the ages of maybe 14, 15, many off the streets, who came. And when they got those pillows, they were so grateful. It was as if we had given them gold. And so he taught me something, that sometimes when we think we know what someone needs and how they're going to share their devotion, it may be in a pillow and a blanket. And so here we are, talking about devotion and how we show devotion to Christ. And what we're called to do is not judge each other about how we show our devotion to Christ. All we are asked to do is to be devoted in our following. So Jesus says, let her keep the anointing nard for the day of my burial. This connects this event with Jesus' impending death. Even though John's gospel does not have an anointing of Jesus right before his burial, as it does in the other gospels, this story nevertheless allows Mary to be part of that anointing in advance. The act of Mary is an act of exemplary faith. Like Martha in the previous story, Mary has insights into the meaning of Jesus' ministry prior to a miracle or a sign that would show and prove to her that this is a miracle. And in this case, it is his death and resurrection. This is the highest level of faith. Her faith is further signified by her role as servant. She knelt at his feet. She washed his feet. She anointed his feet. She performed a supreme act of servanthood for the Messiah by buying something so costly. The man that I talked about used to go around to yard sales and buy pretties, he called them. One day he came by, we had a yard sale, and he was buying pretties. And I said, Mike, Nola's going to kill you if you take all that stuff home. He said, I'm buying them for people that can't afford pretties, because even the poor like pretties. So maybe it was foolish to spend it on pretties rather than on food. But that's the way he showed his devotion. And that is a Mary kind of person. and a Mary kind of faith. Every religious community has its Mary and its Judas. The Mary of a community is the one who has insight that go very deep, but whose witness to those insights is expressed through symbolic acts of love and charity. Her opposite is Judas. This is an individual whose words are loud and forceful and impressive, but know this, hear this, believe this. Judas loved Jesus, followed Jesus, but eventually was overcome by the celebrity and the crowds of people and the money that was accumulated along the way. And then he got lost. His eyes left Jesus. He went back to worldly vision, looked upon things for himself, and was very vain. But know that he was a follower. So how do we churches today work through the values that lie beneath our struggles? The Church of Jesus Christ today must give time and attention and financial support to the programs that help people of all ages to connect to Jesus in personal ways, so that, like Mary, they may worship and adore him. We celebrate all the time in this place, this beautiful place, because of those that came before. Your faith was a part of the saints that came before. Our children, we want our children, we want all of us, to have that experience every day. The church needs to live on. For at the table of new life and forgiveness and love, the threat of death and joy sit side by side. The richness of worship and the poverty of the world rub shoulders. And sometimes the table feels a bit crowded, and the mood may slip from gratitude to judgment. So long as Jesus is the honored guest and the focus of the party, the church will live out its life as ones who are called to follow him. For blessed is the person who has one sole desire, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We may be moved in our spirit, and we may be moved in our minds and hearts when we sit in place of sanctuary. We may experience the presence of Jesus, and we may experience and be urged by God's Spirit to come forward. If these are your experiences this morning, come forward during the singing of hymn number 115. We're going to sing it through three times. Know that you will be welcomed and gathered in, and that we will be devoted to our Christ and treat you in the same welcoming manner that Christ treats us. So let's sing. Let's stand and sing hymn number 115. We're going to sing it through three times. Be seated. Now I will sing that song in my head all week long. It always affects me that way. The God of grace with abundance pours out mercy upon you. Ask for forgiveness, and before you can even have the thought and the prayer, God forgives you. In this act and word of faithfulness, Jesus grants us more grateful hearts. Hearts that are fed with cup and bread as we strive to give to others. God gives to each of us in great measure. Now, as people who live as forgiven and freed, let us prepare our hearts to give thanks, to ask for forgiveness, and to receive new life in our Lord in bread and cup. It was a number from last week, so the correction is 102. Just seeing if you're awake, paying attention. Jesus, the very thought of thee.
Dear Lord, we thank you for this opportunity that has been set aside, that we can remember the time when you took your disciples and prepared a simple meal. Those disciples were confused. They were lost. They didn't know really what was going to happen. and yet you brought them together and gave them love and hope. We thank you for this time that we, as your disciples, are also called to the table, where we sometimes are lost and are not worthy as well. We ask that you may anoint us with your love, and we ask the blessing upon the loaf that represents the broken body of Christ. May it nourish us, may it encourage us, that we might do your will here on earth. We ask in his name. Amen.
Father God, we thank you for being with us today. We know, Lord, that you are here because we can feel your presence in the words that Pastor Evie spoke, in the prayers that we have said. We feel you, Lord, and we thank you for being with us. We thank you for the rain. It nourishes the trees with their deep roots. It cleanses the waterways, and it cleanses our air. And so we know, Lord, that this is essential. We ask that you bless this cup that we are about to partake and that you join us as we commune with thee. We thank you, Lord, for everything. Amen. Thank you.
on the night that our Lord and Savior was betrayed. He gathered his disciples together. He took the bread and he gave thanks for it, and he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body given for you. Whenever you do this in remembrance of me." And in like manner, he took the cup and he blessed it. And he said, "Drink from this, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for the forgiveness of sin. As often as you do this in remembrance of me. For as often as we drink of the cup and eat of the bread, we proclaim the Lord's life, death, and resurrection until he comes again." Now, as we prepare to go out into the rain that Janie has said is our blessing, for some of us going to sheep farm, it may not be a blessing, but but it is a blessing. But there is an aspect of world that can be harsh and mean. And so we prepare ourselves. We come and we worship and we receive prayers and we receive the holy meal. And then we sing ourselves out into the world. And I give you blessing of our Lord Jesus Christ to go with you. So if you'll stand and we will sing 494, they'll know we are Christians. And yes, we're going to sing all four verses. Won't take long. We'll bow your heads into your hearts. I will give you your blessing in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. May when you leave here, you feel anointed by our precious Lord. May when you leave here, you know Jesus walks with you wherever you may step. May when you leave here, you believe that your life is a gift of grace. May in your belief you use your life of grace to give glory to God. Now stand tall and go with joy, for God loves you and looks upon you with favor. Peace be your anointing today. Amen.